broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Ah, Danielle, it's Ben Crenshaw.
Ben Crenshaw, we're getting ready for Calvin over here, and I'm glad you're in a safety zone. We've got mostly clear skies today through Tuesday, except for some isolated brief showers on the windward side, maybe a little cloudier, scattered showers, high today about 89 degrees, and the locally breezy trade winds 10 to 25 miles per hour. So you just never know what the locally breezy. Sometimes it'll be breezy, sometimes it'll be still. But then Tuesday night and Wednesday, mostly cloudy and windy, locally heavy rainfall possible. And on the windward side, occasional showers. Leeward side, showers likely, a slight chance of thunderstorms, of course. We're just going to have to keep an eye, listen to the National Weather Service as they bring out more information about Calvin, its direction, what's going on. Northeasterly to easterly winds will be 15 to 30, though, Tuesday night through Wednesday. All right, I've got a really good show for you. I've got a couple of tea times and kudos to Poipu Bay Hotel and Lodging Charity Walk Tournament that is underway today. Makalei has an 8:50. Puakea has a 9 o'clock. Turtle Bay has a 9:40. Royal Hawaiian Country Club has a 10:20. Eva Beach Golf Course has a 9:16. And on Maui, there's the Gold Course with a 10:50, the Emerald an 11:20, and the Blue Course a 9:20, and Maui Nui has a 9:40 if you'd like to get out and play a round of golf before the weather becomes frightful. My show, yes, Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, joins us. Linda Hartog, the world-renowned golf landscape artist. Attila Cerez, cybersecurity expert. And parents, you want to listen to this. Lewin Mayer, Global Golf Post. Yes, she's at the Scottish Open. And Mary B. Porter King, PGA of America First Lady of Golf, co-founder of the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. We'll be talking with Mary B. right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, water, flood, broken pipe, cleanup, 24-7, licensed and insured. Aloha Power's Megastore is open behind the Costco gas station in Iwilei. Aloha Power Equipment, Iwilei and Waipahu. We put power at your fingertips. SciPac Cybersecurity, an elite group of cyber specialists providing the deepest level of protection anywhere in Hawaii. Call 808-861-9595. And Aloha Section PGA, teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. Now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Mary B. Porter King, PGA of America First Lady of Golf, co-founder Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, with, of course, the first tee now folded in, officiated over 100 U.S. national and international championships, five-year member of the PGA of America Rules Committee, serves on the USGA Junior Amateur Committee, served on the USGA Executive Committee, LPGA Tour Champion, and Collegiate All-American. She played basketball, volleyball, softball, and golf. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mary V.
Is the show over yet?
Yeah. What more do we need to say? You know,
I don't know. I'm tired already.
You've done so much, and I was thinking just the other day when I was watching you on Golf Channel during the U.S. Women's Open Championship, and I was thinking, gosh, in 1999, Mary B. was sitting across from me when I had just started the show, maybe a couple of months before, and I could barely get out HSJGA. Do you remember? It was like HSJGA. And Mary B. was so kind. She goes, it takes a while for that to roll.
That was 25 years ago almost, Danielle. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. You know, I mean, my birthday's tomorrow. Where does this time go? You know, I've been contemplating how crazy. So 25 years. And then we have at Pebble Beach, you watch two and Allison Corpuz walks away with the championship with such composure, such concentration, and she was just really amazing to watch how she just handled herself. You must have been very impressed.
Well, it was a very impressive week, not just for Allison, I think for the state of Hawaii, that there were four of our young women and alumni here that competed. And obviously Allison and Alicia Mateo and Marissa Chow. And Alicia just graduated from BYU and just turned professional. And Marissa Chow, and who's played in it before, her aunt was the used to play with me on tour. But anyway, it was NBC and Michelle Wee. So we had Michelle Wee announce her retirement and play her last Women's Open, and then step up Allison Corpuz to win the Women's Open. So it was. I don't think anyone could have scripted it any better. And it was like a dream come true, playing at Pebble Beach, you know, no better venue than Pebble Beach. And to watch Allison really never back down and just forge ahead, and she owned it. And she took it and played beautiful golf and deserved the win. So it was pretty fun to watch.
It was captivating the whole time. Yeah, you know, there's times during a tournament where I sometimes step away, you know, I've got to do the laundry or something, you know, I don't mind, but I didn't want to step away at all watching the women competing at Pebble Beach. How did you get into the game?
I started the game because my parents started the game 2 years before I did, and they actually had me out caddying them for them when I was about five. Well, this is really fun. But I started at age seven at a small club in Southern California, and Betty Hicks was my professional. And out of her junior program, seven of us turned professional, and two played the tour, and five became club pros. So she had a huge impact on all of us as kids, and was very strict with us, and believed that we not only needed to learn how to play golf, but we needed to learn the history and why you play golf, and the etiquette and the rules of golf. And if you couldn't pass the rules test, you didn't play. So she had a huge impact on me and all of us who were under her tutelage.
Let me ask you then.
Yeah.
What did she say about the why do we play golf?
Well, basically, this probably sounds weird today, but it's what they considered a gentleman's game, and it was very polite, and you call your own rules, and pretty much to me, there's no better analogy of to life than golf. We can go through life and do everything right, and just like Allison Corpuz did on the final day, did everything right on, say, hole number two. She hit the perfect layup shot, and it rolls in the divot.
Mm-hmm.
And life's like that. You know, you could do everything right, and you fall in a divot. But how are you going to deal with it? And I think it teaches you that attitude that it's okay. I'm in a divot, and here's how I'm going to get out. And as opposed to whining about it, because that doesn't get it out of the divot. And I think it makes you grow up and accept responsibility for what you did. Even though you did it and you did everything right, but it just doesn't always work out that way. And I think that's the greatest gift that golf gives. It teaches us the responsibility that no one else did this but me.
Yeah.
And how do I get out of it? What's my next move? So it's the perfect analogy to the game of life, how you accept it. And Allison just accepted what came to her, where the ball went, and figured out a way to get there.
Yes, it was brilliant. It was brilliant. Now, was it also Betty Hicks drilling in the rules that got you so involved? I mean, in the executive committee of the USGA. Now you're
right.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Well, yes, it was, because, like I said, at age seven when I started, she had a written rules test, and if I couldn't pass it, I couldn't play. So
wow.
I spent one third of my summer not playing, and not knowing until I was till I was in my 30s that I'm dyslexic. So that written rules test wasn't that easy, and I still have to take written rules tests every year to officiate at that level. And but when I did start taking the test and learning more about the rules, and I'm going to tell everyone that's listening, the rules are only there to help you. And the more you know them, the more they will help you. But, you know, I've enjoyed doing that. It's kept me more involved. I'm not a great spectator, but if I'm some way participating. So, yeah, it's given me a life and to continue to give back to the game and officiate. And as you may have seen, that I ended up giving Allison a ruling on the fifth hole, the final round. So, and, you know, she's, and it was great to see her at that point because I could see in her eyes that she wasn't fazed by anything. She was so calm and cool and collected and very composed that at that point I had a really, as Ben Crenshaw would have said, I got a feeling.
Got a feeling, yes. Yeah. Okay, now what was the ruling for those who weren't watching? What was the ruling you gave her?
Well, you know, when Allison's group came up to our green, she had a media of about 75 people between television and cameras and everyone. So at where I was sitting, all of a sudden they became doors instead of windows. And so I really hadn't seen what Allison had done. The next thing I know, 75 people turned around and looked at me and said simultaneously that they need a ruling. I said, oh, okay, great. So I've been hobbling with a bad knee, so I hobbled up there, and so I had to ask questions as to what happened, and I did because I really needed history as to what had happened. And what had happened was that Hasa, who she was playing with, had hit it in a bunker, and which I knew, so I sort of thought that possibly Hasa had altered her lie by hitting sand all over it. That's another ruling. So I'm trying to think ahead what it would be, but Allison had been asked to mark her ball off the putting green, which you may be asked at any time to do that, but you must be asked first. You can't just assume you're in someone's way. So she had marked it, and she held it so that she didn't in any way clean it, because you can't clean it if it's off the putting green. And Hasa had played her shot, and Allison went back and replaced the ball, and picked up her coin, and she went down to the green to look at the putt from down below. And when she came back, the ball had tumbled. The ball had moved out of its original position from where she replaced it. So since she was off the putting green and she had done nothing herself to cause the ball to move, then the ball was played as it lies. It's deemed that it's being moved by natural forces. And so we did that, and Kay Cockrell was there and wanting to know what the heck. And I obviously got it right because nobody was yelling in my ear that I hadn't gotten it right. So, that's what happened. So,
yes.
had all that happened on the putting green and the ball was on the putting green and the ball moved, she would have replaced it. So that's the difference of on and off the putting green.
Got it. Wow.
Yeah.
And the
did you
seven.
Learn anything?
Yes, I did learn, and I know everybody did. And in part, it explains why the rules can be good. If you know the rules, you know, sometimes it'll, you can use them to your advantage if you understand them completely. Do I have
exactly.
that right? Okay.
Well, so in that scenario, just to tell you, had her ball tumbled and rolled down on the onto the green and gone in the hole, she would have made a one. And I had that happen in the U.S. Amateur one time at Oakmont. So a young man had hit a ball. He was struggled to get to the green and hit a ball above the hole. He had marked it, and this was before this new rule change, so I don't want to confuse you, but he had marked it, replaced it, and he had gone down, looked up, and the ball rolled into the hole, so he'd made a four. So,
wow.
So there's just things that you need to know.
You need to know. And, you know, I always think of you as being virtually unflappable. But what was it like having 70, 75 people with cameras and all that watching your every move?
Well, and that's why I go to rule school every year. And obviously playing the tour for over 20 years helps. You know, you've been in that environment and you better know your stuff. That's just it. I mean, anyone that's officiating at any high level like that, and you better know your stuff. And it's like a, you know, NFL player, you know, official on the field, and got a big, you know, 7-foot person standing in front of you yelling at you that you're wrong. Normally we don't yell at us in golf, but it just helps to know your stuff, and you have to know it right away. You can't just, well, let me go look in the book, I'll be back. like any sport, so. But it takes practice, and like I said, I've done it enough, and you just hope for the player's sake you always get it right. So
yeah, absolutely, yeah, because it's all on you. And now I don't think we saw those 70 plus people standing and following Alison Corpuz. So that's another level of composure that she didn't let anything bother her. We didn't think of all the people that, you know, you see all these cameras following Tiger Woods, et cetera, et cetera. And here she's got 70 eyes on her. I'll make that, you know, 140.
140.
Right. You know, and she's handling, I'm even more impressed listening to what
And, you know, and that's the goal of television, is not to show all of that commotion around her. But, you know, there's always a sound mic moving around her. There's a cameraman moving around her. There's walking people that are trying to get her yardage and trying to get the club she's using around her. There's an announcer around her. And, they're all trying to stay out of the way of the main camera that's working. But there's a lot of commotion going on at every shot, because they're all moving along with them. And like Tiger's, you know, media gallery was crazy, and it took some time to settle them down. But they're all experts, and they do a pretty good job.
Yeah, I'd be tempted to turn around and say, "Would you guys just stop?"
And you have to do that sometimes, you know, because sometimes they will. They see a better shot, like the camera that's right behind you, and they see a better shot, and they want to move at the last minute, and it's interrupting, and you have to learn to deal with that. It's not easy. And Alison, you know, has had some great events as a young professional. But again, it takes a while to get used to it.
Truly. Now, you know, I was reading Jim McCabe's article, and it's wonderful. And at the end it says, "That is why no matter how much I give to the game, I will never be able to repay golf for what it's given to me."
Yep. Don't make me cry. I mean, it's you know, we all see the, you know, you never know the impact. And I've been doing this for, you know, 25 years with the Hawaii State Junior Golf, and then Kauai Junior Golf prior to that. And you don't know the impact that you have on young people when you're talking to them and dealing with them and trying to help them. And while I was there, I saw several of our junior golfers that were there following all four of our players. And I ran into one of our young men, and who's now a doctor. He's a dentist, and Eric Lay. And he had to share with me. He says, "You know, Mary B., I'll never forget what you taught me on the golf course one day." And I don't know. I mean, I couldn't tell you what it was. And he said, "But you shared with me that it's your attitude, you know, and you have the right, and it's your choice to choose your attitude. And if you continue this type of attitude, you're probably going to have bad days." And he said, "I'm now a dentist, and I remember that every day when I go in to work with my patients. It's my choice to have that attitude." And, you know, and I'm like standing there crying, you know, and hearing what he had to say. And so, you know, just that alone, and it's not, you know, why do I do it? I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it to give the gift that the game of golf has given me, because it is to me just, as they say, a game of a lifetime. And you can play it pretty much forever. You can play it with your parents as they age. I played with my dad till he's 96.
Wow.
And my grandmother till 94. And, you know, so, and I play with my son. And so it's just, it's a wonderful gift, and you don't necessarily have to be good. You just have to enjoy it.
Yes. And, thank you. Yeah. Gosh, that is so important, because a lot of people, I'm not good enough to play. Just, you know, stay with it. Pick your ball up. If you're just in a for pleasure mode with people, they don't mind, you know, they just want to have fun with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's the people you meet along the way, Danielle. I mean, it's, You know, I have to really tell you that in all the years I've been playing since I was seven, I really have never met anyone in the game that I really didn't like, because they get it, they understand it, and it's respectful, and everyone's out there. Yeah, you know, in competitive golf, I'm out there to beat you, and they're out there to beat me, but it doesn't mean I don't like you. And playing in pro-ams, I've played in, I can't tell you how many pro-ams in my life, but the people I've met in pro-ams were just absolutely delightful. And so it's just given me so many wonderful friendships in my life. So when I did marry Charlie, I let him put my phone book into an electronic version. This was, you know, back in the late 80s. And so he put it in, and he started to get a little jealous because there were a lot of guys' names in there, because that's all we played with on tour with in our pro-ams usually.
Right.
But he stopped getting jealous when he ran into Harpo the Clown. So that was it. So, yeah.
I would love to leave this right. Remember, ladies, put Harpo the Clown in there, and then, you know.
That's right.
Right. Then they'll chill, because you're the one anyway, okay. So don't worry about it. Ladies National Golf Association.
Right. So that was the old, originally when I played it, the Trans-Mississippi, it's 93 years old, and actually 96 years old during the war. It missed a couple years, but this will be the 93rd amateur. And I got back involved with it because it had been sort of losing its gusto, but it's one of the elite women's amateur championships that gives world amateur rankings. And so I got back involved, and unfortunately, because of the word, it became the Ladies National, the Ladies Transnational Golf Association, which at that point wasn't, we started getting emails of that weren't exactly. They were more specific to transgenders, and yep. I said, we need to change its name, which is unfortunate. But anyway, now it's the Ladies National Golf Association, and several of us, of my friends and people I went to college with, were on the board and trying to provide opportunities for young women amateurs to play and improve their games.
Wonderful. Okay, that's July 25th to the 27th. And I was watching Golf Channel, and I saw your interviews. You were everywhere. It was so great to see you, and the acknowledgement of all the work. And as Jim McCabe wrote, you know, it wasn't easy doing the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. First of all, 25,000 miles to the, you know, to the biggest landmass, that would be California, right? Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, there's Oahu, Maui, Hawaii, and Kauai, and you want to kind of put them all together, but how do you travel? It's just, it was a lot of hurdles. And you did such an incredible job. I think a force of nature, he called you, and I couldn't agree with him more. With an engaging smile. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Danielle.
It's always wonderful talking with you.
I agree. Thank you so much.
Thank
Good
you.
To hear from you.
Good.
All right.
Aloha. Bye-bye. Mary B. Porter King, PGA of America, First Lady of Golf, and co-founder of the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. And, of course, the first tee is folded in now. So, wonderful. Now, we're going to go to the Scottish Open. And Lewin Mayer, Global Golf Post, is standing by. We'll be right back. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club. The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Ivalay. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Feet up the ball, feet grounded, taking a deep breath, rip it, and rip it. Did I? Oh, man. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
LeWin Mayer, Global Golf Post senior European writer, welcome into the clubhouse.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometime we're going to have to talk about the book that you have written, Tapping Feet, A Double Take on Care Homes and Dementia. I mean, that comes up in so many people's lives now. I don't think we ever expected it to be so prevalent in, you know, it's just like one person and another person. You hear from somebody else who has the same situation with a relative, a friend. So we're going to need to talk about that, but we'll do it on a separate show. The Genesis Scottish Open, DP World Tour and PGA Tour undertaking, purses $9 million, and it's being played at the Renaissance Club this year. We can watch on golf and CBS, but it was really, really early. What happened with the tee times?
Well, they predicted very bad weather and rain and terrible things, and as you would expect, the sun has now, it's been shining for most of the day, so... And tomorrow, they've for the final day, they said it's going to be very windy. So I'm expecting it not to be windy. But who knows? You don't know what you're going to get up here. You really don't.
Yes. And what part of Scotland is this?
This is on the east coast, and it's just actually the course is within, you know, it's next door to Muirfield.
Oh, so, wow.
Absolutely wow, and it's absolutely beautiful, the Renaissance. It's a fantastic course, but it's a little bit easy because we've had a 61 on it this week, and then today, in spite of the allegedly bad weather, we had Tommy Fleetwood doing a 63. Now, he had... on the first day, I thought he wasn't going to make the cut, and I wasn't best pleased because I've done my piece for Monday on Tommy Fleetwood. But then he got better and better as the round went on, had a 70, then a 66, and a 63. So I wonder what's going to happen to him tomorrow.
That's great. It was also really good to see Rory McIlroy hold on to the lead after, you know, the first two rounds, and then the third round, he's still leading. Sometimes he seems to like, or is it the final round where we have problems?
Well, sometimes it's the final round, isn't it? But I think he's pretty happy with, really happy and relaxed being here in Scotland. You know, he's enjoying this tournament and he's friendly with, who is it? He's very friendly with that lovely, the little chap who wears orange on a Sunday and wears dark glasses. Ricky
Fowler, yes.
Yes. Yes. So I think they're enjoying their week here. And, you know, Rory has been smiling and relaxed, as I say, and talking to the media very happily, probably in the hope that people will leave him alone next week.
Yes, because next week is the Open Championship. And that's the purse is $16,500,000, something like that. They changed the dates. I want to ask you this question. You know, for years, this was the week for years and years. I celebrate my birthday tomorrow. And I was always like on the, it's the Open Championship and it's my birthday weekend. And, you know, it's, what happened? Why is it 1 week later this year?
Well, did you never explain the situation to them about your birthday?
No, I... You know, that's my error. I really am. I'm losing it here in my old age.
I would imagine it's something to do with all this, you know, because it's a co-sanctioned event. You know, if this is a co-sanctioned event this week, and people are here for that, and they want, and it obviously just fits with everybody's schedule because you've got so many schedules to consider.
Yes. Yes, yes. I, you know, that's kind of what I thought, since the Open Championship is also co-run by the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour, because they've joined forces, and therefore everything has to be. So let's go back to the Genesis Scottish Open. We've got Rory McIlroy, and then Tom Kim and Tommy Fleetwood. It's awesome to see that Fleetwood had a 63. I'm totally in there with you. Tied with Brian Harman. We've got Shane Lowry, Scottie Scheffler, Max Homa. He's playing well. For a while there, he just like lost it, don't we all? Xander Schauffele, Victor Hovland, Ricky Fowler. You know, lots of great players, including Patrick Harrington. Patty's doing...
Yes, isn't that interesting? And... he's thinking in how he'd like to get into the Ryder Cup. He's an amazing chap, and he might well. He's incredible.
Yeah, and he's doing okay. So, I mean, could he technically be on the senior tour, couldn't he? Isn't he?
He is on the senior. He is. He's winning senior events.
Yes.
But he's a bit of a Bernard Langer, you know. You know, he's just... he's an extremely good and consistent player, and you know, you'd have nothing to worry about if you had him in the team. He'd be very good.
Yeah, that's wonderful. All right, so this is coming up next week. It's the 151st Open, founded in 1860. Now, this is interesting, and I didn't realize this. In the Prestwick Golf Club in Scotland, originally is, and what is there a different name that we would know that by?
No, Prestwick's a very famous name because that's where the Open started.
Yes. Where is that close to?
Well, it's on the west coast, and it would be very near to Troon.
Okay.
And within sight of the same lighthouses as Turnberry.
Wow, beautiful. Now you
well, I'm hoping that may be a bit of exaggeration, but I would say it's possible that they share, because there was a very good program on lighthouses this morning, and they were talking about the ones on the West Coast.
I love lighthouses, yes.
And so do I.
Yeah, there's... and then so this, but the tournament this year is being held on the Royal Liverpool Golf Course. Now, is that one of the courses that's considered not that difficult?
No, I think it's considered. I mean, it's plenty difficult.
Okay.
But Tiger, when he won at Hoylake, he didn't. He just stuck with his irons rather than using woods.
I remember.
Yes.
That
was just when his father died. Do you remember? His father had died, and he was winning for his father, and it was very moving at the end.
I was in my seat, riveted, watching him hit iron after iron and be so absolutely accurate every time. It was like I don't know, it was like watching somebody who had it so dialed in and almost machine-like, although that's not the right word. I can't think of a good word to describe watching him just perform at such a high level with those irons and pull it off all the way to victory. I was looking forward to seeing him do that again, but we're not going to. That's just one of those things. Yeah.
No, it's really sad that, but we've got a very, very good iron player around in this Tom Kim. I mean, he's a marvelous player. Have you watched him at all?
Yes. Yes, he's definitely contending. As I said, he's in second place in the Genesis Scottish Open. So, He's got some pretty tough competition, too. He's very focused. He never seems to be off course. I don't know how to describe it. You've watched him in person.
Yes, I've watched him, and he does seem to stay on the fairway very well. He's a great he's a great kid. He's only 21, but you know, when he finished second in this event last year, and when he came back this year, the sun was out and everything was looking lovely, and he said, "I could live here." And I don't know whether he says it everywhere he goes, but it always means a lot to the locals that someone so likes their country.
Yes, and there's a lot to like about the beauty of Scotland. Is it getting very hot there?
Well, very hot. Our definition of very hot is not yours, and I would say it's about 17, 18 degrees, and then we have had one day when it was 24, and that was considered very hot.
Yes. Well, that's because you're up north that much, and that's centigrade. So, yes, I totally understand. When it gets to be in the 30s, then it would be very hot. But it probably
that's what it is in Europe at the moment. And, of course, they've got the Ryder Cup and the Solheim Cup, one in Ryder Cup in Italy, Solheim Cup in Spain. And, if the weather goes on like this, they're going to roast.
They're going to roast, yeah. Will you be traveling there?
I think I'm just tying up a few loose ends, but I'll probably be at the Solheim Cup, yes.
Excellent, excellent. You'll have to be on. And
oh,
also,
yes.
Will you be at the Open?
I'm at the Open next week, yes.
Yes, great. Can you come back?
Of course I can come back,
oh,
yes.
Good. So what is it that you like the most about the Hoylake, the Royal Liverpool Golf Course?
Well, it's just a lovely place to be. You're on the Wirral, and so you almost feel as if you're looking. It's across the water from Liverpool. That ferry across the Mersey Song. That's how you get from the Wirral to Liverpool and back. And it's just a beautiful area. Lovely housing, and you feel as though you're miles away from anywhere up at Hoylake.
Maybe we should all just sort of, all get together and fly over and
well,
chill.
I don't know where you'd land. You'd have to go to Manchester, I think, and then do it from there, because I don't know that the Liverpool airport is working at the moment.
Really?
Well, I think I saw that. I may be wrong. It may just be for local. Gosh, I'll probably be worrying everybody sick if you've all booked flights to Liverpool.
We'll call the airport first before we come over. Oh, it's so good to hear your voice again. Thank you so much, Lewin Mayer, Global Golf Post, Senior European Writer. Good to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Aloha. Attila Sarres, President and CEO, SIPAC, IT Management and Cybersecurity, based in Hawaii, SIPAC.com. You've heard the spots. You've heard about all of the different things that are happening when it comes to protecting your systems, but I bet you haven't heard this one. I bet you haven't heard about what could be right in the middle of your house, and you had no idea that it's a potential threat. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
You can buy new equipment and practice your swing, but peace of mind is the best way to improve your game. Our mission at SIPAC is to safeguard organizations from cyber attacks and business disruption. We are an elite group of cybersecurity specialists providing the deepest level of cyber protection anywhere in Hawaii. As local residents with businesses and families, we are fully invested in protecting Hawaii's livelihoods and assets. With the serenity that comes from having SIPAC watching your network and infrastructure, you can completely focus on your next swing. Call 808-861-9595 or on the web at cypac.com. That's CYPAC.com.
MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. COVID compliant. Fire damage repair.
Mold remediation.
Asbestos abatement. Call 528-3434. And now,
get MD cleaned.
Breaking news. If you've ever wondered how to improve your home's looks at a reasonable price, a beautiful new Rainer garage door may be perfect for you. By investing in a Rainer door, you will have a strong, quiet door to enjoy now and increase your home's value should you sell. Now is the best time to order your new Rainer door with the gorgeous looks you've been seeing on other homes. Improve your home. Call 676-3667 or visit HawaiiDoor.com. That's HawaiiDoor.com.
Got to make this 30-foot putt. Checking the brake, three fingers, quieting the mind. Where's my putter?
I'm holding it. Let's go back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Linda Hartaugh, world-renowned golf landscape artist, Golf Digest Lifetime Achievement Award. You can find her work. Her site is Hartaugh.com. It's HARTOUGH. Welcome into the clubhouse, Linda. Am I pronouncing your last name right?
Close enough. Linda Hartaugh.
Okay, Linda Hartaugh. So nice to meet you.
Very nice meeting you.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And your work is in the permanent collections of Augusta National, Laurel Valley, Pinehurst, Pine Valley, in the collections of Jack Nicklaus, Raymond Floyd, Reese Jones, a USJ Museum, Far Hills, New Jersey, the Morris Museum of Art in Augusta, Georgia. Wow. How did you get into the world of art and in particular landscape, golf landscape?
Well, I think I've been an artist since day one. I think by age six, I realized that was unique to me, and it defined the rest of my life, really. But it wasn't until 1984 I got asked to do a painting of Augusta National, the 13th hole of Augusta. And up to then, I'd been painting a variety of different things, lots of landscape. I think that's my first love, is landscape. I'd done portraits. I've done equine portraits. You name it, I've painted it. So it was sort of easy for me to just say, sure, no problem. But I didn't realize that it would lead to about 40 years of doing specializing in golf landscape, but it did, and it's been a wonderful career for me, just going all over the world, painting golf courses, and just being in the golf community is just a very special place, which I'm sure you're aware of.
Yes, it is. It really, truly is. Now, let me say this. Do you get to sit, like, at the hole on Augusta National Golf Course that you're going to paint with your easel and your paints and do it from there?
I don't paint on site. I learned very early on that was not doable. I have used the camera for most of my painting career, golf or otherwise, so I've learned how to get reference that I can use in the studio.
So
I'm not a plain air painter.
Okay, I get it. And I mean, things will change on you too, which is...
Plus you're in play.
I thought they might close the hole for you, just so you can get...
Nah, not really.
So do you go out and shoot the hole and then take that all the work, whichever course you're working
on,
and then you do it from home?
Yeah, I work in the studio, but when I like to go to every course I do, and of course Augusta, I went and I've painted over 25 paintings at Augusta.
Wow.
So I used to go literally every spring, and other times of the year, not summer, as I learned, but different times in the winter even, because the light would be different, and I'd get a different angle that I thought was really, you know, good for a particular hole or a particular scene I wanted to do. So I went there a lot. But if it's a course I've never been to, I like to go, first of all, at its optimal time. And then I like to just see the whole course first, sort of get a feeling for its character, and then sort of zero in on maybe one view that might just sum it up the best.
Nice.
And that can take a while. But once you zero in on a hole or a number of holes, then it's finding the right light. So that means that's when my real work starts.
How do you find the right light?
Well, you kind of live with the hole. You know, I'll sit there, usually morning and afternoon, and just watch the light change on the scene.
And that sounds so... And do you ever take a picnic?
Sure. Sure. I know I'm going to have to be there a long time.
That sounds like a lovely way to spend a day, actually.
And if you're in Scotland, you know, that takes you through dinner hours, so you better be prepared.
Yes.
Because, you know, it doesn't get dark till 10 or 11, so you're there during dinner time. That's your best optimal light.
Have you painted Scottish courses?
Oh, yeah, many, many. I did the entire open rotation for the RNA.
Wow. Wow.
And I've been back. I used to go over there every year as well. Not so much anymore, but I've done many paintings since then, a lot of different holes at St. Andrews. And, you know, I've done different versions of the same hole because everybody wants the road hole. Everybody wants the Slocum Bridge. Everybody wants the RNA. So... inventing different, you know, compositions using the same elements, different times of year, different lighting.
Then can I ask you, and it, you know, mm-hmm. at St. Andrews, when we talk mm-hmm. about the Swilken Bridge, what would be your favorite hole?
At St. Andrews?
Yeah, to paint. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's hard to say. I love the holes out on the course.
Yeah.
But they're not that well known, and everybody wants pretty much the same views.
Of course, I totally understand.
I did do the 14th hole, the 14th and 4th actually, and I really loved that painting, but it wasn't hugely popular because it showed the whole town, but way in the distance.
Right. And I understand, because it wasn't something someone would obviously go, oh,
yes.
Wow, you have a painting of X. That's
yes.
fantastic. You know,
it's pretty much the same at Pebble Beach. It's pretty much the same at Augusta. Everybody wants 12th hole, 11th hole, 10th hole. You know, 17th, uh-uh. And the first nine, pretty much no.
One of those first nines is an uphill that I wouldn't want to walk.
Yeah, it's amazing how much elevation there is at Augusta that not many people know unless they've been there.
Yeah, it truly is. I was stunned. I'm like, really? This isn't the view I expected to have. So
yeah.
You were inducted in the Lowcountry Golf Hall of Fame. You've
yeah.
been honored by Golf Digest with a Lifetime Achievement Award, a founding trustee of the Academy of Golf Art. And do you have people under your wing that you kind of help?
Yes, I have, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I'm
trying to grow that genre. It's a bit of a challenge because you're kind of not in the golf world and you're kind of not in the art world when you're doing golf theme art, unfortunately. It's kind of an overlooked genre. So it's been one of my kind of aims is to try to promote that. And and that was the reason, really, for forming the Academy of Golf Art, is to give it a forum for artists that want to do golf landscape, because there's even famous artists that do other subjects. Doesn't mean they don't love that game and wouldn't like to paint something from that, you know. So it would give them a way of being able to show it and connect with collectors. That was the idea behind forming it.
It's wonderful. Creator, mm-hmm. As in your bio, it says, an awareness and appreciation of golf art as a valuable segment of fine art.
Right.
Absolutely, yes. Well, to know that you are in the personal collections of Jack Nicklaus, Raymond Floyd, and Rees Jones, and in the USJ Museum and the Morris Museum of Art, congratulations on some beautiful work that you have done.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Linda Hartow, world-renowned golf landscape artist, Golf Digest Lifetime Achievement Award. You can find her work at hartow.com.
That's yes, we do quite a lot of guests. Or pick the winner contest every, you know, for all the tournaments. And we do give away a lot of prints that way. So that's kind of a fun thing to do. It doesn't cost anything, but you do have to sign up for the email to get the email that says pick the winner.
Oh, wait a second. Let's go back just a second. I'm a little lost. So
okay.
Let me just finish. Hartough, like hard tough, but it's hard toe.
Right.
And hartough.com. That's her
mm-hmm.
website. Now, Linda, when you say pick the winner, you mean, let's say, at the Genesis Scottish Open right now. More
yes.
Rory's in the lead, but Tom Kim is really close behind, and others are too. One more round. If I pick the winner of this event, is that what we're talking about?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so how do I get involved? Tell us how to do this.
Well, you have to sign up for the email, and we usually send out emails on a Wednesday before the tournament, which it's too late for this week, but next week we'll be giving away a print for the Open Championship. And by Friday, you have to send in your pick, and then, you know, if it's somebody like Rory, then you're going to have 50 people to pick it, but we draw from the winners, and somebody wins a print.
That's awesome. That's
mm-hmm.
great. What a great idea. That's a great idea. I want to do this. So,
yeah, it's a lot of fun to do, too, just to kind of try to figure it out. You know?
Yeah, yeah. So on Wednesday,
just sign up for the email, and then you will get the email that says pick the winner.
Got it. Sign up. So I go to hartough.com and
yep.
I pick the ask for the email, send in my pick, and
yep.
hope that it's going to be good.
Yep. We have a lot of people that look forward to it.
I bet.
Every week and try every week.
Hey, Linda, it was really nice meeting you. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse with us. Thanks.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Aloha. Come back. Now, I teased you just a little minute ago about parents, you know, and what you need to look out for, because it could be right in the middle of your house and you'd never know that there's a cyber threat. Attila Serez, President, CEO, SIPAC, is with us next. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Eveleigh. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore.
Breaking news! If you've ever wondered how to improve your home's looks at a reasonable price, a beautiful new Rainer garage door may be perfect for you. By investing in a Rainer door, you will have a strong, quiet door to enjoy now and increase your home's value should you sell. Now is the best time to order your new Rainer door with the gorgeous looks you've been seeing on other homes. Improve your home. Call 676-3667 or visit HawaiiDoor.com. That's HawaiiDoor.com.
Poipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Attila Serez, CEO, CYPAC. CYPAC.com. That's spelled CYPAC.com. Now, October is National Cybersecurity Awareness Month, but we've got to be cyber aware, cybersecurity aware every day. My phone has security upgrades frequently. I can see how something can happen to, you know, make me a target through my phone because I'm constantly using it like a computer. But my home stuff, boy, that doesn't go anywhere. Who'd be interested? Who'd care? You know, well, apparently Attila's going to tell us a little bit about who just might be getting into your computer system at home. Welcome into the clubhouse, Attila.
Oh, thanks for having me, Danielle.
Absolutely. Now, it really stunned me because so many of us have kids who spend an awful long time on their computers playing games. And we're like, they all do it. But tell us what's the danger?
I don't know about you, Danielle, but I know when I was younger, I sure spent a lot of time outside during my summer breaks. But, you know, my kids, they seem to spend a lot more time on the computer than I remember spending. And I suspect that as a parent and having other parents out there who might be listening, they're probably experiencing the same. I mean, summer break is a great time to catch up on playing those video games that maybe they didn't have a chance to play on during the school year. But, you know, cyber criminals, they don't take a vacation. And in a recent call with Homeland Security, they warned that a number of new things have come out that are targeting kids who are playing video games during their break, specifically Mario. And we're seeing this not just with Mario, but with a number of games. But kids are playing video games and perhaps getting frustrated either with, one, they can't progress past a certain point, or two, they want to play that new video game, but maybe mom or dad won't pay for it. And so they go online, and either they pick up a cheat to bypass that, you know, to give them some special abilities or bypass a certain part of the game so that they can keep playing, or they'll get the whole game that, you know, maybe you didn't pay for, and they'll download it onto their computer. Unfortunately, in both of these cases, that software can be laced with malware. And the malware, what we're seeing now in the wild, has two specific targeted actions. One is to take system resources to do crypto mining, and the second is to information stealer. So anything that that child does on that computer then gets logged and taken off to bad guys in far-off places. So if you're sharing that computer, you could, say, do your banking or do anything else that might be personal, such as check your emails or pay credit cards, that information can also be stolen.
Wow. Okay. What is crypto and info mining? Can you define that stuff for us?
Sure. So, you know, when you go online and you pay for something, that kind of credit card information that you're typing in, if there's a piece of software on that system that's harvesting that information, then that's a way that they can take that credit card information or social security information and you know, pick it up, and it's called data exfiltration. So they'll take that data and they'll send it off to who knows where. They're typically financially motivated, so they're not really interested in taking your credit card number and using it themselves, per se, but they are interested in taking that data and then selling it on the dark web. So a valid credit card number can go for anywhere from $3 to $15 on the dark web, and they'll take that credit card information and then sell it to someone else, who will then go out and do fraudulent transactions with it.
Okay, so if my child, and I know this happens, they decide that they are getting frustrated, so they want to get some tips on how to get past to a different level so they can level up and all this good stuff. And so they go in, and I don't even know how they do this because I haven't been a gamer. and the other one is they want to just download something. So are you saying that when they download or go searching for things, the computer that they're using would then get hacked, so to speak, by the download that they're getting, a Mario download that they don't pay for, has something attached to it, and that gets into the computer system?
Exactly. That's what we're seeing. And unfortunately, a lot of this has to do with bad habits. So, for instance, during the pandemic, a lot of folks went to go work from home. They got some nice new work computers or higher power systems. And those are attractive for kids who want to play a video game and you know, need a high power system so they can beat their opponent. And so they would take a work computer and add that game onto it. You see where this is going, right?
Yes.
That game is attached or laced with something that's watching what's happening on the computer, and then you know, during the daytime hours or during you know, work time hours, that computer is used at, like, let's say, an insurance company or a bank or anyone else who might be working remotely. Now it gets inside the business and it travels the path. And these, you know, back in the day of if you've seen any of the movies, there's something called the Elegant Hack, where, you know, someone gets inside the computer and then they're able to just take it over. Those days are kind of done. They kind of get in there and then they lurk. So they can be inside systems for months, sometimes years. For example, the Marriott hotel chain some time back disclosed that they had hackers in there for years watching guests go check in and out. They didn't really take the system down. They just watched. And that's part of the whole kind of espionage that we're starting to see that's coming from the East. And There's not really a clear and easy way to stop these things, but that kind of, you know, just understanding that that's what the adversary is doing can really help you kind of figure out, you know, kind of work backwards on how you can have some good cyber hygiene to prevent this from happening to you.
And what would be good cyber hygiene?
Well, my top tip number one for parents that might be listening is that if you peer over your kid's shoulder and you see a game that seems unfamiliar or something that you might not have purchased, well, that's a clear sign that perhaps this game has been illegally downloaded. So, you know, number one is, you know, peer over your kid's shoulder every once in a while. And, you know, number two, keep an eye out on your bank statements and credit card statements for anything that could be unusual that pops up as transactions. Those are usually signs that something is on one of your systems somewhere, somehow. It may not necessarily be your home computer, but it could be your work computer or any of your other systems that are out there. Unfortunately, credit card theft is pretty rampant. There's not really too much we can do about it other than to try to secure our own systems so that way they don't pick up that data as you're entering them into websites, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Gosh. is there any way to cleanse once it's in to get it out?
There are some good tools and utilities out there. In general, like, we work with businesses, so the idea is this, that in every network, there is no way to really stop the bad guys from getting in. There's always so many new vulnerabilities that come out. In fact, if you check out our DeepWatch blog, we post them there regularly. That's at the SciPack.com website. There was one, for example, that was just released this week from Microsoft, where they have a zero day about opening attachments. So that means that if you receive an attachment and that attachment has a Word document and you open it, there's no way right now for Microsoft to stop that attachment from taking over your system. They have a zero day that's actively in the wild. So the idea is to detect and respond. So you want to have good tools, good software tools or good software programs that are out there. There's a number of them. You can pick them up. There's home versions, everything from, ESET to, Symantec or Norton. Those are not bad pieces of software. And then there's commercial software packages out there available for businesses such as, SentinelOne and so on. But in general, I mean, the video game industry is video game industry is a, you know, by recent estimates, 8 times larger than the movie and music industry combined. So they're at around $20 billion per year, and the video game industry is about $180 billion per year. So just so you have some kind of scale of, like, how much video games have come into our culture and what people are paying for, that should give you an idea in terms of, you know, the attraction for kids to want to play video games.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but you got to keep an eye on them.
Yeah, absolutely. Because once in and you don't know it, it can really upset the whole scale. And sometimes, you know, you say, did you do this on my, this is on my credit card. Did you do this? And the kid's going, I didn't do anything. You're going, you must have done this. Maybe they didn't do it. Yes. Yes, until it's the res. SciPack, SciPack.com. Go check out DeepWatch. And the SciPack is so in tuned and so respected in the large community of cybersecurity. If you have any concerns in your company, you should really get in touch with Attila Serez, the CEO of SciPack. And the number is for them.
Sure. It's 808-861-9595.
Excellent. That's 808-861-9595. 861-9595. Give them a call. They'll keep you protected. Thanks so much for taking time out of your Saturday morning.
Oh, for you, always.
Oh, right on. We should make this a regular. Tell us what else is going on. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Danielle.
Aloha.
Stay safe out there.
Thank you. Aloha. We're going to come back and try to stay safe and play the game of golf. Claude Russo, PGA Master, Director of Player Development at Wailea Golf Academy, the only Golf Channel Academy in Hawaii, is back with us. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. COVID compliant. Fire damage repair.
Mold remediation.
Asbestos abatement. Call 528-3434. And now,
get MD cleaned.
Breaking news. If you've ever wondered how to improve your home's looks at a reasonable price, a beautiful new Rainer garage door may be perfect for you. By investing in a Rainer door, you will have a strong, quiet door to enjoy now and increase your home's value should you sell. Now is the best time to order your new Rainer door with the gorgeous looks you've been seeing on other homes. Improve your home. Call 676-3667 or visit HawaiiDoor.com. That's HawaiiDoor.com.
K-O-R-L-Y-N-I, Honolulu. That's K-O-R-L-Y-N-I, Honolulu.
Yeah, yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, he's the Director of Player Development, Wailea Golf Academy at Wailea Golf Club on Maui. It's the only Golf Channel Academy in Hawaii. A Golf Channel Academy lead coach, he is also a talent contributor with Sports Illustrated Morning Read. There's two videos a month. Just go there. Golf Digest certified instructor, Flight Scope certified instructor, Aimpoint Level 3 certified instructor, Vision 54 authorized coach, V1 sport coach ambassador, and he's ranked number one teacher in the state of Hawaii by Golf Digest list of best teachers 2022-2023 in every state. Second time. Now, welcome into the clubhouse, Claude.
Good morning, Danielle. Thank you for having me as a guest on your show.
Absolutely. It's always fun talking with you because we learn so much. And, you know, we were talking with Mary B. Porter King earlier about the love of the game and what it gives back to us. And I like your number one point that you bring up, consistency versus adaptability. I want you to go into that.
Yes, yes. Correct, Danielle. In fact, every golfer wants to be consistent. But if we really look at it, consistency means doing the same thing over and over. But that doesn't apply to golf in one way. Maybe a little, and we'll dive to that in a few minutes. But if you really look at it, like, and as an example this week, the men's are playing in the Scottish Open. So they will need to adapt because the design of the course it requires shot that it's different than what they normally play in, let's say, United States. They need to get the ball rolling, do more bump and run, using the ground more. So you need to adapt. The green over there are quite a little bit, let's say, slower than what they used to play here. But the key is you have to play with what the golf course is giving you. So you need to adapt. Every shot, I call that every shot is a new love affair. And then it happened only once in the history of the humanity. Golf shot is a unique event. So be consistent at something that you will do once. That doesn't compute that well.
Right.
So you need to be adaptable for the shot that you need to have. The hole, we change the hole every day on the greens. The tee boxes are a different location. You, as a human being, the player, you change during the round. You change every day. You may be a little bit tighter this morning than you were yesterday. You may be more preoccupied because you get something in your personal life where you just got to phone call that you shouldn't have taken when you drove to the golf course. So you need to adapt. That's really the challenge when you play golf.
Okay.
Now,
yes.
Now there is a place where you can be consistent is what you do control. Okay? So what I suggest for doing that is kind of three areas where you're in control. So I call that you need to design a decision process. We'll talk about it. You need to establish a mental and physical routine because it will help you to feel that need of be consistent. Okay? That's where you will be consistent. I call that before you swing, basically. Okay? So let's see. If we go over the decision routine. So it takes about 50 seconds to do that. So let's go. So what I suggest is first, you need to, for every shot, assess the lie of the ball because it has an effect on how the ball will go. Then you need to make a decision on what is the distance you want the ball to travel in the air or will it roll or not. Then you need to make a decision what trajectory you want, prefer, or need. Then only after you get those three things done that you can select the club. Selecting a club before you make those three decisions will not be very efficient. Then after that, you look where you absolutely can't afford the ball to go. Is it short? Is it long? Is it left? Is it right? Is it in the wood? Is it in the water? Then you forget it immediately. Then you decide your starting line or your final target. Okay? Then time to do a practice swing to, and the purpose is getting you ready. And what you want to do is feel all the best swings you ever done with whatever club you got in your hand. Then you can, if you want, visualize the shot. It's not an absolute. Some players do it, some don't. As an example, Tiger said, I've never seen a shot. I feel the shot in my hand. So find what works for you. Then now you're ready. You walk to the ball, you aim the club, you align your body, you get in a good athletic posture, you look at the target, you look back at the ball, and you swing immediately. Okay? Then you swing like there is no consequence on the outcome. And I like this one. I forgot where I got it, but you have to remember that you are witnessing the outcome. You do not control it. Then this is your decision routine. So repeat those steps on the next shot.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then if you go for your mental routine, is you need to find a mental trigger that works for you. What I mean by that, I will use an example of a player that I coach right now. It could be different for the full swing, the bunker, chipping, or putting side. But use it every time on every swing. That's the consistency part that your brain will like. And then, as an example, this player's getting ready. Just before pull the club, he's telling himself, ready, ATM. It's not automatic money machine. It's apply the motion. So ready, ATM, swing. But does that every time. So in the bunker, his mental trigger is compact rotation, pulled with the left arm. On chipping, 1, 2, that's for the tempo, ball in the hole. Putting, solid back of the hole. So I'm just giving you example here. Of course, the player will find what is their mojo or their trigger, mm-hmm. mental trigger, that keep them focused because that's under their control. Then the physical routine, it could be a practice swing, it could be two woggle. It just depends who you are. As an example, some tour players like David Thom lick his pinky fingers before every shot. Keegan Bradley turns the club several times. If we look at Patrick Cantlay, when he's getting ready to putt, if you watch his feet, he's always kind of going, shifting the weight from one to other one. That's kind of his physical routine. So that's what I would suggest you do to be consistent, okay? Mm-hmm. Then I like to remind the golfer, they may think that the most important obstacle on the course are the out of bounds or the water, but in fact, the biggest obstacle is yourself. You need to manage your process, the decision, the mental, the physical, then you go in swing at the club.
Closing the gap between expectation and reality can be painful, but it has to be done sooner or later. May Sarton said that. Where did you get that? Who is May Sarton?
I didn't really search. She's a writer. I am an avid reader, and every day I look at different quote of the day, I call that.
Yes.
And this one, like, stuck with me because I think it really, she's not a golfer, but it applied to golf.
Absolutely.
So if your expectations are so non-realistic, it will be painful, and then you will be very frustrated when you play golf. And I don't like frustrated golfers. I think they need to be more realistic with their expectation. And then how do you close that gap is you need to develop skills. Like, you know, there is physical skill, of course, but there is, like we talked about, how can you be consistent? Consistent is not when you swing. It's before you swing.
Yeah.
Because this.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
One thing that I really like is in number 9 of your decision routine, where walk to the ball with the club, aim the club, align your body, get in a good athletic posture, look at the target, look back at the ball, stay in motion, make the swing immediately as if there were no consequence on the outcome. That way, because so many of us are good at throwing a ball and catching a ball, right? Or just there's motion. We're reacting to motion. In golf, there's no reacting to motion. You are the motion. You have to. So by not slowing yourself down, by just going with it, just doing it at that moment, you become motion. And
Exactly, Danielle. And then what happens is that if you stay too long over the ball, immobile, not in motion like you just described, I like the way you describe it, is now what happens is that the tension creeps in your body. Then also, the longer you are not doing anything, the thoughts process in what I call your intellectual brain start to take over, telling you, do this, don't do that, don't miss it. Oh, last time I missed it, and then now, whoa. So at the ball, be in motion, allows you to, at the ball, use what I call your athletic brain, not your intellectual brain at the ball.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, get that mind out of it.
Yeah, you know. Get out of your own way and swing like an athlete, and you know, learn from the shot. It's about learning and knowing how. Okay, what can I learn from that ball? And then also, it's you need to avoid to attach any negative emotion to a shot that is not what you wanted. It's easier said than done, but it's also a skill. Remember, golf is a motor skill, an intellectual, and also emotional. You have to be able to deal with your emotions. So to the fastest way to destroy your confidence is attaching negative emotion on the shot that is not what you want. So you will say, okay, that's nice, Claude. How in the world can I fix this thing? So here's the solution, Danielle. So let's say the ball, you're on, let's say you want to go for the green, and then the ball end up right in the bunker.
Oh, yeah.
So, oh, yes, it happened. So what you will say is, okay, factual, that ball went 15 yards right of my target and move on. It's not like slamming the club and treating yourself about all the word that you will never say to somebody else, but you say it to yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Because people say, oh, I'm hard on myself, Claude. I say, and why are you doing that to yourself? You think it will help your performance? That's the fastest way to destroy your confidence. So what you need to do is be factual, no emotion. Say, okay, the ball is, let's say, 6 inches left of the hole, and then 3 feet too long. Then what you need to do after that is replay the shot the way you really wanted it. So you can visualize the ball going the hole or visualize the ball landing on the green instead of the bunker to the right. And that's the only image that you keep in your mind. So
that's
a much better way to react to shots that are not what you had planned, as long as you had planned it, though, Danielle.
Yeah.
The problem golfer is they just go and swing and hit as hard as they can and hope. I always, like to make golf fun and make it that they get it. I say, okay, hope is not the best strategy to play golf.
No, it's not. But
keep hope for something else.
What I love about, this is Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, and he has produced 38 videos with Golf Channel, and they're really high quality, and there's no cost. And it's on his website, and it's claudeforbestgolf.com. So claudeforbestgolf.com. Check out those videos. He's also produced 18 videos for with Sports Illustrated, and that's a longer URL. But it's if you went to si.com, you could probably search Claude Brousseau, and they'll come up for you. It's so good. If you want to get in touch with Claude, wileagolf.com. Thank you so much for being on the show again today. You've really helped
us. It's my pleasure, Danielle.
You've helped
us. Have a great day.
You too. And I want to thank Aloha Power Equipment's new mega store. It's right on Alakava. So if you're shopping in that vicinity, drop in because we want to be ready for Calvin, okay? And even if you get all ready for Calvin and nothing happens, you know, hurricane season goes on until November. So it's not like you're wasting. You're just ready. And then usually what you're getting, like if you go to Aloha Power Equipment, we put power at your fingertips in the sense of, hey, get a generator. You might just need a generator. No power. Yes. Be prepared. Get ready. All right. MD Restoration, flood from the inside or out, flood or fire disaster. You need help immediately. And MD Restoration's on it any time of the day, right away. So not only will they mitigate the problem from the flood, they can help if something's been destroyed. They're licensed contractors. So they'll do your cleanup and they'll do your repair. 528-3434. Rainer Garage Doors, beautiful. Absolutely. Go to hawaiidoor.com. Maximum security, a beautiful look. It's like your first safety zone, the first exhale when you get home. Door shuts. Now I don't have to fumble for my keys. We're very honored to have the support of the Aloha Section PGA. You heard just a minute ago from one of our great PGAs, a PGA master. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of patience, love of this game to become a PGA. And they want to share their knowledge with you so that you can enjoy the game of golf for a lifetime. CyPack for cybersecurity. Are we getting how close they can be to the house? Yeah, for your company, your organization, CyPack, an elite group of cyber specialists providing the deepest level of protection anywhere here in Hawaii. It's online, CyPack.com. And their number is 861-9595. And if you're stumped and you have no idea what to get for a friend who seems to have just about everything, give them a Poi Poo Bay gift certificate. It's a great place to go play a round of golf, and it's always a good time. It's so beautiful. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. If you'd like to listen to the show, it's available via podcast and live stream. It's radiogolfclub.com. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2023.